Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be reading Malachim Aleph Perek Bet, the first book of Malachim, chapter 2. This chapter contains David's instructions to Shlomo before he dies. As we remember, in the last Perek, it was very tricky who was going to take over after David, and Shlomo is established as the king, as the child who's going to take over, and not Adoniyahu, David's oldest son. And now David instructs Shlomo how he should carry on his kingdom. And David has a chance to do this because he anointed Shlomo in his lifetime, and now he can make sure that Shlomo is set up for success. The first thing David tells Shlomo is, "V'chazakta v'hayita la'ish." You're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be a man. Not all your policies are going to be popular. Radak says that you have to be Zariz u'moshel v'nafshecha, the kovesh et yitzracha. That in order to be a king, you have to have so much self-control, and you have to control your yetzer. You have to control what you sometimes want to do, and instead make a good decision, a level-headed decision. And that's what David means when he says chazakta. You have to be strong, not just in the country, but also over yourself. David tells Shlomo that he should follow Hashem, and that's really the only truly way to be successful. He says in Pasuk Gimel, "V'shamarta et mishmeret Hashem Elokecha l'alecha b'drachav l'shmur chukotav mitzvotav u'mishpatav v'edotav kakatuv b'torah Moshe." Shlomo, your job is to follow the Torah. Keep the mitzvot. Keep the laws. L'man taskil et kol asher ta'aseh v'et kol asher tifnesham. And that's how you're going to be successful. That's how everything you turn to do will work for you. And it's also, says David in Pasuk Dalet, Laman yakim Hashem et devaro asher diber alai lemor im yishmeru banecha et darkam alechet lefanai be'emet b'chol vavam b'chol nafsham lemor lo yichveit lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. That's also the key to having a lineage, to having a succession. David says, Hashem promised me that if I follow the Torah, and if I instruct my children to follow the Torah, and you hear echoes of Shema here, b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and with all your soul, if you keep the tenets of the Torah, that's how you'll be able to have a succession. And David is realizing that this moment where he's passing on his kingship to his son is an auspicious moment. It has so much greatness in it, because he's able to tell his son, and this is the way to be a true king. It reminds us of Devarim Perek Yud Zayin, how the way to be a true king is not to try to aggrandize your own power, but rather to follow Hashem, to have a humble heart. And then at this point, David's instructions take a turn, and he starts to tell Shlomo that very specific directions that he wants Shlomo to carry on after David's death. He wants him to reward and punish certain people from David's life who deserved a certain reaction now that David was not able to fulfill. He mentions three different people. First, he wants to punish Yoav, David's sartzava, the head of his army, for killing two people, Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeter. Now, this is, and he wants Shlomo to punish Yoav. Now, just realize that this is very tricky. First of all, because Yoav is extremely powerful, but also because of the people that he killed, Avner and Amasa had both worked for David's enemies. Avner had worked for Shaul, and Amasa had worked for Avshalom, David's son who rebelled against him. They had each been forgiven by David, and then had joined his side very recently as top commanders, posing a rival to Yoav. And then Yoav had killed each of them while they were defenseless and unsuspecting. But you can imagine that killing these people that were really against David for most of their lives could have been popular with the people at the time. What makes it even more tricky is that if you look in Divrei Hayamim 1, Perek Bet, Shlomo, Yoav, and Amasa are all first cousins. So what David is telling Shlomo to do is actually really not easy. The second thing is a little bit easier. He tells him to reward Barzillai HaGiladi for helping him when he was running away from Avshalom. And the third thing he tells him to do is to punish Shimei ben Gera for cursing David. And Shimei had said that David was a dog and he was a supporter of Shaul. Now, this is also tricky. Like Yoav, Shimei ben Gera was a very important person. Gemara Brachot, Daf Chet Amud Aleph, it says that Shimi was actually Shlomo's teacher. And Masuta David picks this up from the words of the Pasuk where David says, Hine imcha Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera is with you. Masuta David says that this means that he is Ahuvcha. This is some beloved to you. Hayoshev imcha bitmidut, who sits with you all the time. And then he brings in the Midrash that says that Shimi was Shlomo's teacher. Now, while giving these directions, David builds Shlomo up, telling him phrases like, Asita kechachmatcha, you should do according to your wisdom and your judgment. And then he says it about Yoav, and about Shimi, he says a different phrase which is very similar, Vata al tenakehu, ki ish chachamata, yadata et asher taselo. Don't allow him to get away with this, because really, Shlomo, you are very bright, you are very smart, and you know really what has to be done. This relates to what David said before, v'chazakta v'hayita le'ish, you have to be strong, you have to be a man. What David is telling Shlomo to do is not easy. Neither directive, neither following Hashem as a king and sublimating your will for Hashem's when you're actually the all-powerful king, nor dealing with political intrigue and dealing with very influential people. And David is telling Shlomo to do something very difficult, especially for a young boy who grew up revering these people in David's inner circle, Yoav the great warrior, and Shimei ben Gera, the great sage. And again, to the public, these are people that David forgave. David decided not to do anything. So when Shlomo starts to do something, you can imagine that it would be difficult for Shlomo. The people might be upset about it. Shlomo's a new king. It might rock the boat. With that, David dies. David dies and he's buried in Ir David after ruling for 40 years. Very interesting, just archaeologically, about Kever David, and different people that have had different ideas about where David's grave is. And a lot of it goes back to this pasuk because it says that he's buried in Ir David. Right now we have David's grave in Hartzion. There's a few different places where David's grave could be. Anyway, David ruled for 40 years. 7 of them were just over Shevet Yehuda in Hebron, and 33 over United Israel in Yerushalayim. The rest of the story takes such an interesting turn. Right away, after David's death, Adonio, remember him from last parak, Shlomo's brother, approaches Bathsheba, and he has an interesting request for her. He says to her, I have one very small request for you. Please don't turn me away. And he begs Bathsheba to please go to Shlomo and ask him if he can marry Avishag HaShunamit, David's, if you remember, David's lap warmer, the woman who warmed David up. And he says, please just do this one thing for me, because you know, Bathsheba, that really I should have been king. You know that I'm the oldest child and the kingship really comes to me, but I accept Shlomo's rule, and I'm not contesting it. This is all I want, just a small thing. Bathsheba agrees to go to Shlomo with this request. And she says to Shlomo, in a very similar vein, Shlomo, I have a very small request for you from Adonio. Bathsheba feels bad for Adonio. He convinces her that, I was so disappointed that I lost the kingdom. And he says, please, he'd just like to marry Avishag HaShunamit. Shlomo responds, Vayan HaMelech Shlomo, Vayomer Li'imo. Shlomo says in Pasuk Kaf Bet, verse 22, V'lama ha'sho'elet Avishag HaShunamit la'adonio v'sha'ali lo atamlucha. Why are you asking me to give him Avishag HaShunamit? Why don't you just ask me to give him the kingdom? Shlomo realizes that Adonio's not asking to marry just Avishag because he's in love with her. Shlomo wants to marry the Pilegesh of the king. He wants to marry a woman that had this type of relationship with David. Another person is not allowed to marry a woman that's been with the king. And yes, while it is a little bit complicated because it says in the pasuk before in the parak that David didn't sleep with Avishag, but still she was part of in some way with David, and therefore Shlomo really says right away that Adonio is challenging him through this, through a very cunning and conniving way. And therefore, Shlomo sends his Sar Tzava ben Ayahu ben Yehoyada, he sends his officer, the head of his army, to go kill Adonio, because he had told Adoniel at the end of the last parak, you can stay alive as long as you don't challenge the kingship. Shlomo sees here that Adoniel is challenging the kingship. The next person that Shlomo deals with is Eviatar HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. And Shlomo tells Eviatar that he is no longer going to be the Kohen Gadol, and in fact he is going to be sent to exile to Anatot. Anatot is going to come up later in Tanakh as the birthplace of Yirmiyahu. And he says to Eviatar, I'm not going to kill you because you spent so much time, you helped my father David so much, but I am sending you into exile for what you did. And what Eviatar did was support the rebellion of Adoniel. Yoav hears what happened to Adoniel and to Eviatar, and he assumes that he's next. So he runs to the Mishkan, and he holds on to the Mizbeach. There were these horns that would come out from the corners of the Mizbeach, and Yoav holds on to one of them. And probably this is the same move that Adoniel had made in the last parak, and it worked. And Shlomo forgave him and allowed him to live. So Yoav probably is figuring that if it worked for Adoniel, maybe it'll work for him as well. Shlomo sends Benayahu again to get Yoav, and Yoav says, no, I won't leave. Instead, he says, Lo, ki po amut, I will die here. Shlomo tells Benayahu, Ase kasher diber, ufagavo, ukurato. Do what he says, and actually kill him and bury him. And that's what Benayahu does. He kills Yoav, even though he is thinking that the Mishkan is going to protect him, but it doesn't. The last person that Shlomo deals with is Shimi ben Gera. And he says to Shimi ben Gera, listen, Shimi, I don't want to kill you. Instead, I'm going to put you in house arrest. You have to stay in your house in Jerusalem, maybe so Shlomo can keep an eye on him. But if you leave Jerusalem, then I am going to kill you. And Shimi says that that's very fair. And he does. He lives in his house. But 3 years later, one of Shimi's servants runs away, and he decides that he wants to go get his servant back. So he leaves Jerusalem, and at that point, Shlomo kills him. The last phrase of the parak in Pasuk 46 is, V'hamamlacha nechona. Yad Shlomo. The kingdom was established in the hands of Shlomo, showing us that these actions that Shlomo did in this parak were actually vital to establishing Shlomo's kingship. What we see from this parak is the value of peaceful transition. Shlomo is very young, and he's very innocent, and he doesn't have the political experience of an older person who would have grown up and been trained for this. And yet David trusts him with very tricky political decisions, very tricky political actions. And it's also clear that Shlomo trusts himself. He is actually very wise, and he can see people's motivations. And through these actions, it works. Shlomo is able to establish a monarchy. It's really interesting, though, to think about that when David gives his last will and testament, his last speech to Shlomo, he focuses so much on vengeance. There's two psukim about following Hashem, but then there's more psukim about who to kill and how and why. And is this even a fair position to put the young Shlomo in when he's faced by these towering figures of Yoav ben Tseruya and Shimi ben Gera? Rav Yoel ben Nun points out that there's actually a subtext to David's command. It's very clear to David, who is experienced politically and who is very savvy, that the rebellion of Adoniel is not actually over. And it's also clear to him that the one really to fear is Yoav and Shimi, who represent the political and religious alternative to Shlomo, who both clearly believed in another king besides for Shlomo. And while David himself was able and decided to let them live, David decides that Shlomo would not be able to. And we see that this is borne out immediately, because as soon as David dies, Adoniel makes a very sneaky play for the throne. And it's only because Shlomo is so quick-witted that he sees it and that he puts a stop to it. David tells Shlomo to be smart, and he is. He understands immediately what Adoniel's motivations are. He understands that David's directive to him is that he needs to be a king who's going to be strong and who's not going to be afraid to kill the people that are Mord B'Malchut, that challenge his kingship. Shlomo's also smart in the way that the events play out. If you notice, everybody that Shlomo kills actually ends up causing their own death on the spot. by not accepting Shlomo's authority. He doesn't even have to kill them because of past actions. Yoav won't come out of the Mishkan when he tells him to leave. He refuses to leave. Shimi leaves his house when Shlomo tells him not to. And Adoniel makes a play for the king's wife, which is a very strong move against the kingship. In Divrei Hayamim, Perek Aleph, chapter 29, Divrei Hayamim, 1, Aleph, Perek Kaftet, chapter 29, there's listed a very different type of goodbye speech that David gives Shlomo. There, he says in Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer David HaMelech L'chol Kahal, David actually speaks to the whole congregation, and it says, Shlomo b'ni achad b'char bo Elokim, Shlomo, my son, who Hashem alone has chosen, Na'ar Barach, he is young and he's tender. V'hamlacha gdola, and the work is great. Ki lo la'adam habira, ki la'Hashem Elokim, because the palace is not for man, but rather belongs to Hashem. This concept of Shlomo being young and inexperienced, and also there being this great work to do, and this very important work to do, this sentiment informs perhaps David's last words to Shlomo that we see here. Perek Aleph of Melachim showcased David's humility, his ability to introspect, to consider the advice of others even when it's uncomfortable, and to face his own mistakes. This perek shows the opposite, the strength of David, the political savvy, the passing on the message to Shlomo that you protect the institution of kingship through both strength and weakness, through power and humility. Ultimately, the kingship is a milacha gdola, as it says in Divrei Hayamim, a great work. It's an important institution if it's done right, but one that, in order to be done right, it has to be done for Hashem, not for glory and not for honor. Ki lo la'adam habira, the palace doesn't belong to man, but rather to God. Just to review, what we see here in this parak is David's last will and testament to Shlomo. He gives him instruction, he tells him how to live as a king, and then very specifically who to deal with. Shlomo does carry out David's will. He shows great power and also great wisdom, and it is through this that Shlomo is able to establish a kingdom. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.